Hi, Wynn. Mommy tells me that you're being a very big boy with your injury, or well, I guess you're kind of sick with your infection and everything. But since you're very sore and have to be very careful about getting cleaned up and bathed and everything, I thought maybe that you'd like for me to read you some more Winnie the Pooh stories. So that's exactly what I'll do. Got some more Winnie the Pooh stories. This is from the Winnie the Pooh book that's entitled The House at Pooh Corner. And the first story in this Winnie the Pooh book is entitled In Which a House is Built at Pooh Corner for Eeyore. And Eeyore is the donkey, if you remember from the last stories. So it starts out, one day when Pooh Bear had nothing else to do, he thought he would do something, so he went around to Piglet's house to see what Piglet was doing. It was still snowing as he stumped over the white forest track, and he expected to find Piglet warming his toes in front of his fire. But to his surprise, he saw that the door was open, and the more he looked inside, the more Piglet wasn't there. "He's out," said Pooh sadly. "That's what it is. He's not in. I shall have to go a fast-thinking walk by myself. Bother." At first he thought that he would knock very loudly just to make quite sure. And while he waited for Piglet not to answer, he jumped up and down to keep warm. And a hum came suddenly into his head, which seemed to him a good hum, such as hummed hopefully to others. "The more it snows, tiddly-pom, the more it goes, tiddly-pom, the more it goes, tiddly-pom, on snowing. And nobody knows, tiddly-pom, how cold my toes, tiddly-pom, how cold my toes, tiddly-pom, are growing. So what I'll do," said Pooh, "is I'll do this. I'll just go home first and see what the time is, and perhaps I'll put a muffler around my neck, and I'll go see Eeyore and sing it to him." He hurried back to his own house. And his mind was so busy on the way with the hum that he was suddenly getting ready for Eeyore that when he suddenly saw Piglet sitting in his best armchair, he could only stand there rubbing his head and wondering whose house he was in. "Hello, Piglet," he said. "I thought you were out." "No," said Piglet. It's you who were out, Pooh." "So it was," said Pooh. "I knew one of us was." He looked up at his clock, which had stopped at 11:05 some weeks ago. "Nearly 11 o'clock," said Pooh happily. "You're just in time for a little smackerel of something." And he put his head into the cupboard. And then he said, "We'll go out, Piglet, and sing my song to Eeyore." "Which song, Pooh?" "The one we're going to sing to Eeyore," explained Pooh. The clock was still saying 11:05 when Pooh and Piglet set out on their way 30 minutes later. The wind had dropped, and the snow, tired of rushing around in circles trying to catch itself up, now fluttered gently down until it found a place on which to rest. And sometimes the place was Pooh's nose, and sometimes it wasn't. In a little while, Piglet was wearing a white muffler around his neck, and feeling more snowy behind the ears than he'd ever felt before. "Pooh," he said at last, and a little timidly, because he didn't want Pooh to think he was giving in, "I was just wondering, how would it be if we went home now and practiced your song and then sang it to Eeyore tomorrow or the next day when we happen to see him?" "That's a very good idea, Piglet," said Pooh. "We'll practice it now as we go along, but it's no good going home to practice it because it's a special outdoor song which has to be sung in the snow." "Are you sure?" asked Piglet anxiously. "Well, you'll see, Piglet, when you listen. Because this is how it begins. The more it snows, tiddly-pom." "Tiddly what?" said Piglet. "Pom," said Pooh. "I put that in to make it more hummy." "The more it goes, tiddly-pom, the more..." "Didn't you say snows?" "Yes, that was before." "Before tiddly-pom?" "It was a different tiddly-pom," said Pooh, feeling rather muddled now. "I'll sing it to you properly, and then you'll see." So he sang it again. "The more it snows, tiddly-pom, the more it goes, tiddly-pom, the more it goes, tiddly-pom, on snowing. And nobody's tiddly-pom knows how cold my toes tiddly-pom. How cold my toes tiddly-pom are growing. He sang it like that, which is much the best way of singing it, and when he had finished, he waited for Piglet to say that of all the outdoor hums for snowy weather he had ever heard, this was the best. And after thinking the matter out carefully, Piglet said, "Pooh," he said solemnly, "it isn't the toes so much as the ears." By this time, they were getting near Eeyore's gloomy place, which was where he lived. And it was still very snowy behind Piglet's ears, and he was getting tired of it. So they turned into a little pine wood and sat down on the gate which led into it. They were out of the snow now, but it was very cold. And to keep themselves warm, they sang Pooh's song right through 6 times. Piglet doing the tiddly-poms and Pooh doing the rest of it, and both of them thumping on the top of the gate with pieces of stick at the proper places. A little while they felt much warmer and were able to talk again. "I've been thinking," said Pooh, "and what I've been thinking is this. I've been thinking about Eeyore." "What about Eeyore?" "Well, poor Eeyore has nowhere to live." "Nor he has," said Piglet. "You have a house, Piglet, and I have a house, and they are very good houses. And Christopher Robin has a house, and Owl and Kanga and Rabbit have houses, and even Rabbit's friends and relations have houses, or somethings. But poor Eeyore has nothing. So what I've been thinking is, let's build him a house." "That," said Piglet, "is a grand idea. Where shall we build it?" "We'll build it here," said Pooh, "just by this wood, out of the wind, because this is where I thought of it. And we will call this Pooh Corner. And we will build an Eeyore house, which sticks at Pooh Corner for Eeyore. With sticks at Pooh Corner for Eeyore." "There was a heap of sticks on the other side of the wood," said Piglet. "I saw them, lots and lots, all piled up." "Thank you," said Piglet. "Thank you, Piglet," said Pooh. "What you have just said will be of a great help to us. Because of it, I could call this place Pooh and Piglet Corner, if Pooh Corner didn't sound better, which it does, being smaller and more like corner. Come along." So they got down off the gate and went around to the other side of the wood to fetch the sticks. Christopher Robin had spent the morning indoors, going to Africa and back, and he just got off the boat and was wondering what it was like outside, when who should come knocking at the door but Eeyore. "Hello, Eeyore," said Christopher Robin, as he opened the door and came out. "How are you?" "It's snowing still," said Eeyore gloomily. "So it is, and freezing." "Is it?" "Yes," said Eeyore. "However," he said, brightening up a little, "we haven't had an earthquake lately." "What's the matter, Eeyore?" "Nothing, Christopher Robin, nothing important. I suppose you haven't seen a house or whatnot anywhere about." "What sort of a house?" "Just a house." "Who lives there?" "I do. At least I thought I did. But I suppose I don't. After all, we can't all have houses." "But Eeyore, I didn't know. I always thought." "I don't know how it is, Christopher Robin, but with all that snow and one thing and another, not to mention icicles and such like, it isn't so hot in my field about 3 o'clock in the morning as some people think it is. It isn't close, if you know what I mean. Not so as to be uncomfortable. It isn't stuffy. In fact, Christopher Robin," he went on in a loud whisper, "quite between ourselves, and don't tell anybody, it's cold." "Oh, Eeyore." And I said to myself, "The others will be sorry if I'm getting myself all cold. They haven't got brains, any of them. Only gray fluff that's blown into their heads by mistake. And they don't think. But if it goes on snowing for another 6 weeks or so, one of them will begin to say to himself, 'Eeyore can't be so very much too hot about 3 o'clock in the morning.' Then it will get about, and they'll be sorry." "Oh, Eeyore," said Christopher Robin, feeling very sorry already. "I don't mean you, Christopher Robin. You're different. So what all comes to is that I built myself a house down by my little wood, Did you really? How exciting. The really exciting part, said Eeyore, in his most melancholy voice, is that when I left it this morning, it was there. And when I came back, it wasn't. Not at all. Very natural. It was only Eeyore's house. But still, I just wondered. Christopher Robin didn't stop to wonder. He was already back in his house, putting on his waterproof hat, his waterproof boots, and his waterproof Macintosh as fast as he could. We'll go look for it at once, he called out to Eeyore. Sometimes, said Eeyore, when people have quite finished taking a person's house, there are one or two bits which they don't want and are rather glad for the person to take back, if you know what I mean. So I thought if we just went. Come on, said Christopher Robin. And off they hurried. In a very little time, they got to the corner of the field by the side of the pine wood, where Eeyore's house wasn't any longer. There, said Eeyore, not a stick of it left. Of course, I've still got all the snow to do with what I like with. One mustn't complain. But Christopher Robin wasn't listening to Eeyore. He was listening to something else. Can't you hear it? He asked. What is it? Somebody laughing? Listen. They both listened, and they heard a deep, gruff voice saying in a singing voice that the more it snowed, the more it went on snowing, and a small, high voice, tiddly-palming, in between. It's Pooh, said Christopher Robin excitedly. Possibly, said Eeyore. And Piglet, said Christopher Robin excitedly. Probably, said Eeyore. What we want is a trained bloodhound. The words of the song changed suddenly. We've finished our house, sang the gruff voice. Tiddly-palm, sang the squeaking one. It's a beautiful house, tiddly-palm. I wish it were mine, tiddly-palm. Pooh, shouted Christopher Robin. The singers on the gate stopped suddenly. It's Christopher Robin, said Pooh eagerly. He's round by the place where we got all those sticks from, said Piglet. Come on, said Pooh. They climbed down their gate and hurried round the corner of the wood, Pooh making welcoming noises all the way. Why, here is Eeyore, said Pooh, when he had finished hugging Christopher Robin, and he nudged Piglet, and Piglet nudged him, and they thought to themselves what a lovely surprise they'd got ready. Hello, Eeyore. Same to you, Pooh Bear, and twice on Thursdays, said Eeyore gloomily. Before Pooh could say, why Thursdays? Christopher Robin began to explain the sad story of Eeyore's lost house, and Pooh and Piglet listened, and their eyes seemed to get bigger and bigger. Where'd you say it was? Asked Pooh. Just here, said Eeyore. Made of sticks. Yes. Oh, said Piglet. What, said Eeyore? I just said, oh, said Piglet nervously. And so as it seemed quite at ease, he hummed tiddly-palm once or twice in a what shall we do now kind of way. You're sure it was a house, said Pooh? I mean, you're sure the house was just here? Of course I am, said Eeyore, and he murmured to himself. No brain at all, some of them. Why, what's the matter, Pooh? Asked Christopher Robin. Well, said Pooh, the fact is, said Pooh. Yeah. Why, what's the matter, said Pooh? Asked Christopher Robin. Well, said Pooh, the fact is, said Pooh. It's like this, said Pooh, and something seemed to tell him that he wasn't explaining very well, and he nudged Piglet again. It's like this, said Piglet quickly. Only warmer, he added after deep thought. What's warmer? The other side of the wood where Eeyore's house is. My house, said Eeyore. My house was here. No, said Piglet firmly. The other side of the wood. Because of being warmer, said Pooh. But I ought to know. Come and look, said Piglet simply. And he led the way. There wouldn't be two houses, said Pooh, not so close together. They came around the corner, and there was Eeyore's house, looking as comfy as anything. There you are, said Piglet. Inside as well as outside, said Pooh proudly. Eeyore went inside and came out again. It's a remarkable thing, he said. It is my house. And I built it where I said I did, so the wind must have blown here. And the wind blew it right over the wood and blew it down here. So here it is, as good as ever. In fact, better in places. Much better, said Pooh and Piglet together. It just shows what can be done by taking a little trouble, said Eeyore. Do you see, Pooh? Do you see, Piglet? Brains first, and then hard work. Look at it. That's the way to build a house, said Eeyore, proudly. So he left a minute, and Christopher Robin went back to lunch with his friends Pooh and Piglet, and on the way they told him of the awful mistake they had made. And when he had finished laughing, they all sang the outdoor song for snowy weather and all the rest of the way home. Piglet, who was still not quite sure of his voice, putting in tiddly palms again. And I know it seems easy, said Piglet to himself, but it isn't everyone who could do it. Well, that's the end of the first story, Wynn. And now, after the interruptions I'd had, I think you probably heard the few knocks on the door. I'll read you the next story. And it's in which Tiger comes to the forest and has breakfast. Winnie the Pooh woke up suddenly in the middle of the night and listened. Then he got out of bed and lit his candle and stumped across the room to see if anybody was trying to get into his honey cupboard. And they weren't. So he stumped back again, blew out his candle, and got into bed. Then he heard the voice again. Well, is that you, Piglet? He said. But it wasn't. Come in, Christopher Robin, he said. But Christopher Robin didn't. Tell me about it tomorrow, Eeyore, said Pooh sleepily. But the noise went on. Roar, 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 said whatever it was. And Pooh found that he wasn't asleep after all. What can it be, he thought. There are lots of noises in the forest, but this is a different one. It isn't a growl, and it isn't a purr, and it isn't a bark, and it isn't the noise you make before beginning a piece of poetry. But it's a noise of some kind, made by a strange animal. And he's making it outside my door, so I shall get up and ask him not to do it. He got out of bed and opened his front door. Hello, said Pooh, in case there was anything outside. Hello, said whatever it was. Oh, said Pooh, hello. Hello. Oh, there you are, said Pooh. Hello. Hello, said the strange animal, wondering how long this was going on. Pooh was just going to say hello for the fourth time when he thought that he wouldn't. So he said, who is it, instead? Me, said a voice. Oh, said Pooh. Well, come here. So whatever it was came here, and in the light of the candle, he and Pooh looked at each other. I'm Pooh, said Pooh. I'm Tiger, said Tiger. Oh, said Pooh, for he had never seen an animal like this before. Does Christopher Robin know about you? Of course he does, said Tiger. Well, said Pooh, it's the middle of the night, which is a good time for going to sleep, and tomorrow morning we'll have some honey for breakfast. Do tigers like honey? They like everything, said Tiger cheerfully. Then if they like going to sleep on the floor, I'll go back to bed, said Pooh, and we'll do things in the morning. Good night. He got back into bed and went fast asleep. When he awoke in the morning, the first thing he saw was Tiger, sitting in front of the glass and looking at himself. Hello, said Pooh. Hello, said Tiger. I just found somebody just like me. I thought I was only one of them. Pooh got out of bed and began to explain what a looking glass was. But just as he was getting to the interesting part, Tiger said, excuse me a moment, but there's something climbing up on your table. And with one loud roar, he jumped at the end of the tablecloth and pulled it to the ground, wrapped himself up in it three times, rolled to the other end of the room, and after a terrible struggle, got his head into the daylight again and said cheerfully, have I won? That's my tablecloth, said Pooh, as he began to unwind Tiger. I wondered what it was, said Tiger. It goes on the table, and you put things on it. Then why did it try to bite me when I wasn't looking? I don't think it did, said Pooh. It tried, said Tiger, but I was too quick for it. Pooh put the cloth back on the table, and he put a large honey pot on the cloth, and they sat down to breakfast. And as soon as they sat down, Tiger took a large mouthful of honey. He looked up to the ceiling with his head on one side and made exploring noises with his tongue and considering noises and what have we got here noises. And then he said in a very decided voice, "Tigers don't like honey." "Oh," said Pooh, and tried to make it sound sad and regretful. "I thought they liked everything." "Everything except honey," said Tiger. Pooh felt rather pleased about this and said that as soon as he finished his own breakfast, he would take Tiger around to Piglet's house, and Tiger could try some of Piglet's hay corns. "Thank you, Pooh," said Tiger, "because hay corns is really what tigers like best." So after breakfast, they went around to see Piglet. And Pooh explained as they went that Piglet was a very small animal who didn't like bouncing and asked Tiger not to be too bouncy just at first. And Tiger, who had been hiding behind trees and jumping out on Pooh's shadow when it wasn't looking, said the tigers were only bouncy before breakfast, and that as soon as they had a few hay corns, they became quiet and refined. So by and by, they knocked at the door of Piglet's house. "Hello, Pooh," said Piglet. "Hello, Piglet. This is Tiger." "Oh, is it?" said Piglet, and he edged around to the other side of the table. "I thought tigers were smaller than that." "Not the big ones," said Tiger. "They like hay corn," said Pooh. "So that's what we've come for, because poor Tiger hasn't had any breakfast yet." Piglet pushed the bowl of hay corns towards Tiger and said, "Help yourself." And they got close up to Pooh and felt much braver and said, "So you're Tiger. Well, well," in a careless sort of voice. But Tiger said nothing because his mouth was full of hay corns. After a long munching noise, he said, "Yarsh." And when Pooh and Piglet said, "What?" he said, "Skoshwee," and went outside for a moment. When he came back, he said firmly, "Tigers don't like hay corns." "But you said they liked everything except honey," said Pooh. "Everything except honey and hay corns," explained Tiger. When he heard this, Pooh said, "Oh, I see." And Piglet was rather glad that tigers didn't like hay corns. He said, "What about thistles?" "Thistles," said Tiger, "is what tigers like best." "Then let's go along and see yours," said Piglet. So the three of them went, and after they walked and walked and walked, they came to the part of the forest where Eeyore was. "Hello, Eeyore," said Pooh. "This is Tiger." "What is?" said Eeyore. "This," explained Pooh and Piglet together. And Tiger smiled his happiest smile and said nothing. Eeyore walked all around Tiger one way, and then turned and walked all around him the other way. "What did you say it was?" he asked. "Tiger." "Ah," said Eeyore. "He just come," explained Piglet. "Ah," said Eeyore again. He thought for a long time, and then said, "When is he going?" Pooh explained to Eeyore that Tiger was a great friend of Christopher Robin's, who had come to stay in the forest, and Piglet explained to Tiger that he mustn't mind what Eeyore said because he was always gloomy. And Eeyore explained to Piglet that, on the contrary, he is feeling particularly cheerful this morning. And Tiger explained to anybody who was listening that he hadn't had any breakfast yet. "I knew there was something," said Pooh. "Tigers always eat thistles, so that was why we came to see you, Eeyore." "Don't mention it, Pooh." "Oh, Eeyore, I didn't mean that. I didn't want to see you." "Quite, quite. But your new stripy friend, naturally, he wants his breakfast. What did you say his name was?"
"Tiger."
"Then come this way, Tiger." Eeyore led the way to the most thistly-looking patch of thistles that ever was, and waved a hoof at it. "The little patch I was keeping for my birthday," he said. "But after all, what are birthdays? Here today and gone tomorrow." "Help yourself, Tiger." Tiger thanked him and looked a little anxiously at Pooh. "Are these really thistles?" he whispered. "Yes," said Pooh. "What tigers like best?" "That's right," said Pooh. "I see," said Tiger. So he took a large mouthful and gave a large crunch. "Ow!" said Tiger. He sat down and put his paw in his mouth. "What's the matter?" asked Pooh. "Hot," mumbled Tiger. "Your friend," said Eeyore, "appears to have bitten on a bee." Pooh's friend stopped shaking his head to get the prickles out and explained that tigers didn't like thistles. "Then why had been a perfectly good one?" asked Eeyore. "But you said," began Pooh, "you said that tigers like everything except honey and acorns." "And thistles," said Tiger, who was now running around in circles with his tongue hanging out. Pooh looked at him sadly. "What are we going to do?" he asked Piglet. Piglet knew the answer to that. He said at once that they must go see Christopher Robin. "You'll find him with Kanga," said Eeyore. He came close to Pooh and said in a loud whisper, "Could you ask your friend to do his exercises somewhere else? I shall be having lunch directly, and I don't want him bounced on just before I begin. A trifling matter, and fussy of me, but we all have our little ways." Pooh nodded somberly and called to Tiger, "Come along. We'll go see and see Kanga. She's sure to have lots of breakfast for you." Tiger finished his last circle and came up to Pooh and Piglet. "Hot," he exclaimed with a large, friendly smile. "Come on," and he rushed off. Pooh and Piglet walked slowly after him, and as they walked, Piglet said nothing, because he couldn't think of anything. And Pooh said nothing, because he was thinking of a poem. And when he had thought of it, he began. "What shall we do about poor little tiger? If he never eats nothing, he'll never get bigger. He doesn't like honey and acorns and thistles, because of taste and because of the bristles. And all the good things which animals likes have the wrong sort of swallow or too many spikes." "He's quite big enough anyhow," said Piglet. "He isn't really very big." "Well, he seems so." Pooh was thoughtful when he heard this, and then he murmured to himself, "But whatever his weight in pounds, shillings, and ounces, he always seems bigger because of his bounces." "And that's the whole poem," he said. "Do you like it, Piglet?" "All except the shillings," said Piglet. "I don't think they ought to be there." "They wanted to come in after the pounds," explained Pooh, "so I let them. It's the best way to write poetry, letting things come." "Oh, I didn't know," said Piglet. Tiger had been bouncing in front of them all this time, turning around every now and then to ask, "Is this the way?" And now at last they came in sight of Kanga's house, and there was Christopher Robin. Tiger rushed up to him. "Oh, there you are, Tiger," said Christopher Robin. "I knew you'd be somewhere." "I've been finding things in the forest," said Tiger importantly. "I've found a Pooh and a Piglet and an Eeyore, but I can't find any breakfast." Pooh and Piglet came up and hugged Christopher Robin and explained what had been happening. "Don't you know what tigers like?" asked Pooh. "I expect if I thought very hard I should," said Christopher Robin. "But I thought Tiger knew." "I do," said Tiger. "Everything there is in the world except honey and acorns and what were those hot things called? Thistles." "Yes, and those." "Oh, well then, Kanga can give you some breakfast." So they went into Kanga's house, and when Roo had said "Hello, Pooh," and "Hello, Piglet," once, and "Hello, Tiger," twice, because he had never said it before and it sounded funny, they told Kanga what they wanted. And Kanga said very kindly, "Well, take a look in my cupboard, Tiger dear, and see what you'd like." Because she knew at once that, however big Tiger seemed to be, he wanted as much kindness as Roo. "Shall I look too?" said Pooh, who was beginning to feel a little 11 o'clockish. And he found a small tin of condensed milk, and something seemed to tell him that tigers didn't like this. So he took it by the corner, into the corner by himself, and went with it to see that nobody was interrupted it. But the more Tiger put his nose into this and his paw into that, the more things he found which Tiger didn't like. And when he had found everything in the cupboard and couldn't eat any of it, he said to Kanga, "What happens now?" But Kanga and Christopher Robin and Piglet were all standing around Roo, watching him have his extract of malt. And Roo was saying, "Must I?" Kang was saying, "Now, Rudyard, remember what you promised." "What is it?" whispered Tiger to Piglet. "His strengthening medicine," said Piglet. "He hates it." So Tiger came closer, and he leant over the back of Roo's chair, and suddenly he put out his tongue and took one large gollop and said, with a sudden jump of surprise, "Kang," said, "Oh," and then clutched at the spoon. Again, just as it was disappearing, pulled it safely back out of Tiger's mouth. But the extract of malt was gone. "Tiger, dear," said Kanga, "he's taken my medicine. He's taken my medicine. He's taken my medicine," sang Roo happily, thinking it was a tremendous joke. Then Tiger looked up at the ceiling and closed his eyes. His tongue went round and round his chops in case he had left any outside. And a peaceful smile came over his face as he said, "So that's what Tiger's like." Which explains why he always lived at Kanga's house afterwards, and had extract of malt for breakfast, dinner, and tea. And sometimes, when Kanga thought he wanted strengthening, he had a spoonful or two of Roo's breakfast after meals as medicine. "But I think," said Piglet to Pooh, "that he's been strengthened quite enough." Well, that was a nice story, wasn't it, Wynn? Well, I tell you what I'll do. I'll read you one more story, and then I'm going to have to go and find some dinner for Daddy. It is fairly late, and daddies need dinner, too. The next Pooh Bear story is in which a search is organized, and Piglet nearly meets the Heffalump again. Pooh was sitting in his house one day, counting his pots of honey, when there came a knock on the door. 14, said Pooh. "Come in, 14. Or was it 15? Bother, that's muddled me." "Hello, Pooh," said Rabbit. "Hello, Rabbit. 14, wasn't it?" "What was?" "My pots of honey, what I was counting." 14, that's right. Are you sure?" "No," said Rabbit. "Does it matter?" "I just like to know," said Pooh humbly, "so as I can say to myself, I've got 14 pots of honey left. Or 15, as the case may be. It's sort of comforting." "Well, let's call it 16, said Rabbit. "What I came to say was, have you seen Small anywhere about?" "I don't think so," said Pooh. And then, after thinking a little more, he said, "Who is Small?" "One of my friends and relations," said Rabbit carelessly. This didn't help Pooh much, because Rabbit had so many friends and relations, and of such different sorts and sizes, they didn't know whether he ought to be looking for Small at the top of the oak tree or in the petal of a buttercup. "Well, I haven't seen anybody today," said Pooh, "not so as to say, 'Hello, Small,' to. Did you want him for anything?" "I don't want him," said Rabbit, "but it's always useful to know where a friend and relation is, whether you want him or whether you don't." "Oh, I see," said Pooh. "Is he lost?" "Well," said Rabbit, "nobody has seen him for a long time, so I suppose he is. Anyhow," he went on importantly, "I promised Christopher Robin I'd organize a search for him, so come on." Pooh said goodbye affectionately to his 14 pots of honey and hoped they were 15, and he and Rabbit went out into the forest. "Now," said Rabbit, "this is a search, and I've organized it." "Done what to it?" said Pooh. "Organized it, which means, well, it's what you do to a search when you don't all look in the same place at once. So I want you, Pooh, to search by the 6 pine trees first, and then work your way towards Owl's house, and look out for me there. Do you see?" "No," said Pooh. "What?" "Then I'll see you at Owl's house in about an hour's time." "Is Piglet organized too?" "We all are," said Rabbit, and off he went. As soon as Rabbit was out of sight, Pooh remembered that he had forgotten to ask who Small was, and whether he was the sort of friend and relation who settled on one's nose, or the sort who got trodden on by mistake. And as it was too late now, he thought he would begin the hunt by looking for a Piglet, and asking him what they were looking for, before he looked for it. "It's a good time to be looking at the six pine trees for Piglet," said Pooh to himself, "because he's been organized in a special place of his own. So I shall have to look for the special place first. I wonder where it is." And he wrote it down in his head like this: Order of looking for things. 1. Special place, to find Piglet. 2. Piglet, to find who Small is. 3. Small, to find Small. 4. Rabbit, to tell him I found Small. 5. Small again, to tell him I found Rabbit. Which makes it look like a bothering sort of day, thought Pooh as he stumped along. The next moment the day became very bothering indeed, because Pooh was so busy not looking where he was going that he stepped on a piece of the forest which had been left out by mistake. And he only had just time to think to himself, "I'm flying. What owl does? Wonder how you stop," when he stopped. Bump! "Ow!" squeaked something. "That's funny," thought Pooh. "I said ow, without really ooing." "Help," said a small, high voice. "That's me again," thought Pooh. "I've had an accident, and I've fallen down a wall. Well, and my voice has gone all squeaky, and works before I'm ready for it, because I've done something to myself inside. Bother. Help, help. There you are. I say things when I'm not trying. So it must be a very bad accident." And then he thought that perhaps when he did try to say things, he wouldn't be able to. So to make sure, he said loudly, "A very bad accident to Pooh-wear." "Pooh," squeaked the voice. "It's Piglet," cried Pooh eagerly. "Where are you?" "Underneath," said Piglet, in an underneath sort of way. "Underneath what?" "You," squeaked Piglet. "Get up." "Oh," said Pooh, and scrambled up as quickly as he could. "Did I fall on you, Piglet?" "You fell on me," said Piglet, feeling himself all over. "I didn't mean to," said Pooh, sorrowfully. "I didn't mean to be underneath," said Piglet, sadly. "But I'm all right now, Pooh, and I'm so glad it was you." "What's happened?" said Pooh. "Where are we?" "I think we're in a sort of pit. I was walking along, looking for somebody, and then suddenly I wasn't anymore. And just when I got up to see where I was, something fell on me. And it was you." "So it was," said Pooh. "Yes," said Piglet. "Pooh," he went on nervously. He came a little closer. "Do you think we're in a trap?" Pooh hadn't thought about it at all, but now he nodded, for suddenly he remembered how he and Piglet and once made a Pooh trap for heffalumps, and he guessed that's what had happened. He and Piglet had fallen to a heffalump trap for Poohs. That's what it was. "What happens when the heffalump comes?" asked Piglet tremblingly, when he had heard the news. "Perhaps he won't notice you, Piglet," said Pooh encouragingly, "because you're a very small animal. But he'll notice you, Pooh. He'll notice me, and I shall notice him," said Pooh, thinking it out. "We'll notice each other for a long time. And then he'll say, 'Ho, ho!'" Piglet shivered a little at thought of that "ho, ho," and his ears began to twitch. "What will you say?" he asked. Pooh tried to think of something he would say. The more he thought, the more he felt that there was no real answer to "ho, ho," said by a heffalump in that sort of voice this heffalump was going to say it in. "I shan't say anything," said Pooh at last. "I shall just hum to myself, as if I was waiting for something. Then he'll perhaps say, 'Ho, ho,' again," suggested Piglet anxiously. "He will," said Pooh. Piglet's ears twitched so quickly that he had to lean them against the side of the trap to keep them quiet. "He will say it again," said Pooh. "I shall go on humming. And that will upset him, because when you say, 'Ho, ho,' twice, in a gloating sort of way, and the other person only hums, you suddenly find, just as you begin to say it the third time, that, Well, you find what? That it isn't, said Pooh. Isn't what? Pooh knew what he meant, but being a bear of very little brain, he couldn't think of the words. Well, it just isn't, he said again. You mean it isn't ho-ho-ish anymore, said Piglet hopefully. Pooh looked at him admiringly and said that was what he meant. If you went on humming all the time, was because you couldn't go on saying ho-ho forever. But he'll say something else, said Piglet. That's just it. He'll say, what's all this? And then I shall say, and this is a very good idea, Piglet, which I've just thought of, I shall say, it's a trap for a heffalump, which I've made, and I'm waiting for the heffalump to fall in. I shall go on humming. That will unsettle him. Pooh, cried Piglet. Now it was his turn to be the admiring one. You've saved us. Have I, said Pooh, not feeling quite sure. But Piglet was quite sure, and his mind ran on. And he saw Pooh and the heffalump talking to each other, and suddenly, and a little sadly, that it would have been rather nice if it had been Piglet and the heffalump talking so grandly to each other, and not Pooh, much as he loved Pooh, because he really had more brain than Pooh, and the conversation would go better if he and not Pooh were doing one side of it. And it'd be comforting afterwards in the evenings to look back in the day when he answered a heffalump back as bravely as if the heffalump wasn't there. It seemed so easy now. He knew just what he would say. Heffalump, gloatingly. Ho ho. Piglet, carelessly. Tra la la, tra la la. Heffalump, surprised and not quite so sure of himself. Ho ho. Piglet, more carelessly still. Tiddly-dum dum, tiddly-dum. Heffalump, beginning to say ho ho and turning it awkwardly into a cough. What's all this? Piglet, surprised. Hello, this is a trap I've made. I'm waiting for a heffalump to fall onto it. Heffalump, greatly disappointed. Oh, after a long silence. Are you sure? Piglet, yes. Heffalump, oh, nervously. I thought it was a trap I'd made to catch piglets. Piglet, surprised. Oh, no. Heffalump, oh, apologetically. I must have got it wrong, then. Piglet, I'm afraid so, politely. I'm sorry, he goes on humming. Heffalump, well, I suppose I'd better be getting back. Piglet, looking up carelessly. Must you? Well, if you see Christopher Robin anywhere, you might tell him I want him. Heffalump, eager to please. Certainly, certainly, he hurries off. Pooh, who wasn't going to be there, but we find we can't do without him. Oh, Piglet, how brave and clever you are. Piglet, modestly. Not at all, Pooh. Then when Christopher Robin comes, Pooh can tell him all about it. While Piglet was dreaming this happy dream, and Pooh was wondering again whether it was 14 or 15, the search for Small was still going on all over the forest. Small's real name was Very Small Beetle, but he was called Small for short when he was spoken to at all, which hardly ever happened, except when somebody said, "Really Small." He had been staying at Christopher Robin's for a few seconds, and he started around a gorse bush for exercise, but instead of coming back the other way as expected, he hadn't, so nobody knew where he was. "I expect he's just gone home," said Christopher Robin's rabbit. "Did he say goodbye and thank you for a nice time?" said Rabbit. "He only just said, how do you do," said Christopher Robin. "Ha," said Rabbit, after thinking a little, he went on. "Has he written a letter saying how much he enjoyed himself and how sorry he was he had to go so suddenly?" Christopher Robin didn't think he had. "Ha," said Rabbit again, and looked very important. "This is serious. He is lost. We must begin the search at once." Christopher Robin, who was thinking of something else, said, "Where's Pooh?" But Rabbit had gone. So he went into his house and drew a picture. of Pooh going on a long walk at about 7 o'clock in the morning. Then he climbed to the top of his tree and climbed down again. And he wondered what Pooh was doing and went across the forest to see. It was not long before he came to the gravel pit. And he looked down, and there were Pooh and Piglet with their backs to him, dreaming happily. "Ho, ho," said Christopher Robin loudly and suddenly. Piglet jumped 6 inches in the air with surprise and anxiety. But Pooh went on dreaming. "It's the Heffalump," thought Piglet nervously. "Now then," he hummed in his throat a little so that none of the words would stick. And then, in the most delightfully easy way, he said, "Tra-la-la, tra-la-la," as if he had just thought of it. But he didn't look round, because if you look round and see a very fierce Heffalump looking down at you, sometimes you forget what you were going to say. "Rum-tum-tum, tiddly-um," said Christopher Robin, in a voice like Pooh's, because Pooh once invented a song that went, "Tra-la-la, tra-la-la, 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 rum-tum-tum, tiddly-um." So whenever Christopher Robin sings it, he always sings it in a Pooh voice, which seems to suit it better. "He said the wrong thing," thought Piglet anxiously. "He ought to have said, ho-ho, again. Perhaps I had better say it for him." And as fiercely as he could, Piglet said, "Ho-ho." "How did you get there, Piglet?" said Christopher Robin in his ordinary voice. "This is terrible," thought Piglet. "First he talks in Pooh's voice, then he talks in Christopher Robin's voice, and he's doing it so as to unsettle me." And being now completely unsettled, he said very quickly and squeakily, "This is a trap for Pooh's. I'm waiting to fall in it. Ho, ho. What's all this? And then I say, ho, ho, again." "What?" said Christopher Robin. "A trap for ho, ho," said Piglet huskily. "I've just made it. I'm waiting for the ho, ho to come along." How long Piglet would have gone on like this, I don't know. But at that moment, Pooh woke up suddenly and decided... As he turned his head so as to soothe himself in that awkward place in the middle of the back where something was tickling him,